Hello, this is part two of TV Guide magazine for August 5th through 18th. I'm Rachel Renner. We'll get started with The Rausch Review by Matt Rausch. The terror, infamy, an ill wind of history blows through this chilling ghost story. Season premiere Monday, August 12th at 9, 8 Central on AMC. The horror, seems an appropriate response to any account of one of the most shameful chapters from our not-so-distant past, when more than 100,000 Japanese Americans were displaced and sent to U.S. internment camps after the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. The terror, infamy, takes this tragedy a step further. In the second season of the provocative anthology series, which adds a creepy layer of supernatural shock to its recreation of historical events, the dehumanizing indignities of racism and war-fueled hysteria are compounded by an ill omen from across the sea. That's how Seiko Nakamaya, played by Naoko Mori, a fisherman's wife in coastal California, describes it when a funeral is eerily disrupted by inexplicable winds. We forget when the old spirits call to us. That's certainly true of her son Chester, played by Derek Mio, who scoffs, "I thought we left that old country stuff behind." A college-educated photographer who's involved in a secret and complicated romance with a Mexican-American nurse, played by Christina Rodlow, Chester feels confined and trapped by tradition. But how to explain the blurry spectral images he captures in his viewfinder, or the vision so many in the community are having of an old-school geisha who may be as lethal as she is lovely? Chester is haunted by his own encounter with this beautiful phantom named Yuko, played by Kiki Sukazani. During a tea ceremony in a brothel, Yuko intuits of his restless soul, "You live in two worlds, but are home in neither." Infamy tantalizes with mysteries about Chester's past and why the ghostly wraiths are so persistent and, in many instances, deadly, conjuring a freaky aura of grisly, ritualistic retribution that follows its callow hero all the way to Guadalcanal. "Any face we see can be that of an evil spirit," warns a local elder, played with wily gravity by Star Trek icon George Takei. With its powerful depiction of once-proud families uprooted and separated, the series is gut-wrenching enough, even without the scary stuff. And yet, by weaving ancient terrors into its all-too-relevant story of prejudice and fear, this fable feels as fresh and original as it is frightening. Four Weddings and a Funeral, series premiere Wednesdays on Hulu. Hold the rice. Something has gone seriously amiss when a romantic comedy fails to charm or amuse to such a degree that you pine for four or more funerals and not the I do's. Such, sadly, is the case with this misbegotten attempt by Mindy Kaling and Matt Warburton from The Mindy Project to replicate Richard Curtis's frothy Tangled Affairs of the Heart formula popularized in the 1994 movie and, later, Notting Hill and Love Actually. Most everything falls flat, starting with the bland central performance of Game of Thrones' Natalie Emanuel as the unaccountably smug Maya. She's introduced as an unrepentant homewrecker before reuniting with three annoying American college pals in London, a nerdy would-be author, played by Search Party's John Reynolds, carrying a torch for her, a narcissistic man-child, played by Brandon Michael Smith, and a spoiled BFF, played by Rebecca Rittenhouse, whose fiancé, played by Nikesh Patel, is instantly smitten with Maya in a meet-cute with predictable consequences. Even if you're a sucker for rom-com clichés, declaration of love in the pouring rain, check, this cloying and clumsy rehash may harden your heart. My Life is Murder, series premiere Monday, August 5th on Acorn TV. With enough swagger to make even a warrior princess like Xena proud, Lucy Lawless has a ball solving crimes that wouldn't make Columbo break a sweat. A sparkling Melbourne looks like heaven on earth in a souffle-light Australian mystery series that doesn't so much ask who done it, but how she's going to solve it. For widow and retired detective Alexa Crow, the off-the-book cases provided by a former colleague, played by Bernard Curry, are catnip. Flirty and saucy, Alexa disarms her obvious prey before going in for the kill, all while learning to work a German food processor, wrangle a stubborn stray cat, and mentor the requisite millennial tech whiz, played by Ebony Vagulens, who worships her. Mind candy for sure, but tasty enough if you've had your fill of grit. Our Boys. Series premiere Monday, August 12th at 9, 8 Central on HBO. Not every murder investigation can trigger an actual war, but few places are as volatile as Jerusalem, where tensions between the Arab and Jewish populations escalate in this grim and riveting docudrama based on actual events in 2014. Filmed in Israel, the English subtitled Our Boys opens with the kidnapping and murder of three Jewish teenagers attributed to Hamas. In retaliation, a Palestinian teen is abducted, beaten, and burned to death by unknown parties, a crime that shocks even battle-hardened authorities. Jews don't do something like this, declares an Israeli cop. Leading the investigation is Simon, played by an understated excellent Shlomi Elkabetz, a pragmatic anti-terrorism agent in the Jewish Division of Israel Security. Against a backdrop of street riots and political pressure from both sides, he solemnly pursues disturbing leads and infiltrates a Jewish settlement for answers. With an authenticity and intensity recalling The Wire, if set in the Middle East, Our Boys puts a human face on an age-old conflict, asking if justice is ever possible in a world where young boys are used as tragic pawns. And now on Netflix. The Family, docuseries premiere Friday, August 9th. Pop quiz. Who holds the most power in Washington, D.C.? If you said the president or the Speaker of the House, you'd be wrong. According to this new five-part docuseries, the ones pulling the strings are the Fellowship, a covert religious and political group that's been around for nearly 80 years. Through investigative reporting, interviews, and scripted reenactments, director Jess Moss reveals how this organization, known for sponsoring the annual National Prayer Breakfast, has wielded its influence quietly behind the scenes for decades. Journalist Jeff Charlotte, who has written two books about the Fellowship, calls them an invisible organization hiding in plain sight. By Eric Anderson. Sextuplets, movie premiere Friday, August 16th on Netflix. Expectant dad Alan, played by Marlon Wayans from In Living Color, who was adopted as a child, sets out to find his birth mother. But when he meets Russell, the brother he never knew he had, Alan learns he's a sextuplet. So naturally, he and Russell embark on a road trip to track down the other four. What sets this film apart from other family comedies is the casting. I play every last sibling, Wayans recently explained. So it's me with me with me finding me, and then I also play the mom, too. Filming aided by body doubles proved to be a challenge for the actor. I'm in a scene sometimes with six different versions of myself. It's crazy. Glow, season 3 premiere Friday, August 9th on Netflix. Their live Las Vegas show is a hit, but not all the female wrestlers are ready to take a triumphant strut around the ring. It's a be-careful-what-you-wish-for scenario, says Carly Mensch, co-creator of this acclaimed 1980s set comedy, which is loosely based on the women of the Reagan-era wrestling series also called Glow. The real challenge is doing the same show night after night after night, for months and months and months. It's a different kind of pressure, physically and mentally, and emotionally. After relocating to Sin City with her teammates at the end of season 2, hopelessly optimistic Ruth, played by Mad Men's Alison Brie, now finds herself longing for her sweet new boyfriend Russell, played by Victor Quinez, whom she left back home in L.A. Long distance is hard. It's definitely much harder at the beginning of a relationship, and even harder in 1986 without cell phones or FaceTime, co-creator Liz Flahive notes. There are a lot of added obstacles. Ruth's fellow wrestler and show producer Debbie, played by Emmy nominee Betty Gilpin, faces her own separation issues since her young son lives with her ex-husband in California. Torn between family and career, the steely former soap actress finds herself drawn to business-minded Sandy Devereaux St. Clair, played by recurring star Gina Davis, a one-time showgirl who's now the entertainment director at the hotel where the women wrestle. Debbie is trying to carve out a path not so dissimilar from Sandy's, says Flahive, a woman in a man's world. Russian Doll, Season 1, available now on Netflix. You may have overlooked this dark comedy when it debuted back in February, but the Television Academy sure didn't. The Groundhog Day-esque series about Nadia, played by Natasha Lyonne from Orange is the New Black, a drug-using New York City woman who keeps dying and being reborn every time she leaves her 36th birthday party, recently scored a staggering 13 Emmy nominations, including Outstanding Comedy Series and Lead Actress. We explore this idea of dying again and again and not knowing how to make it stop until you reconcile the past, co-creator Lyonne, a former addict, recently told TV Guide magazine. The story is personal and born from this firsthand experience of a life that often was unfortunately close to death. Friends, available now on Netflix. Our five favorite storylines. They'll be there for you until the beginning of 2020. That's when the 1994 to 2004 NBC sitcom Friends, about six New Yorkers coping with work, love, and a famously ugly naked guy neighbor, leaves the streaming service. Before it's gone, revisit our favorite storylines. Ross and Rachel's drama. Neurotic paleontologist Ross Geller, played by David Schwimmer, and fashionista Rachel Green, played by Jennifer Aniston, spent 236 episodes in a hilarious on-off-on-again romance. He even said her name at the altar when he was wedding someone else. Was it any surprise they'd end up together? And the key episode is The One with the Prom Video, Season 2, Episode 14. Phoebe's Surrogacy. Wacky Phoebe Buffay, played by Lisa Kudrow, had her share of crazy careers, from singer-songwriter of bizarre tune Smelly Cat to masseuse. In Season 4, she got a serious job carrying triplets for her brother and his wife, but she longed to keep one for herself. It was an emotional journey that added depth to The Flightiest Friend. And the key episode is The 100th, Season 5, Episode 3. Joey and Chandler's bromance. On paper, dopey ladies' man Joey Tribbiani, played by Matt LeBlanc, and sarcastic, unlucky in love Chandler Bing, played by Matthew Perry, couldn't appear more different. But the best friends and roommates did everything together, including watching TV and matching recliners. And the key episode is The One with the Cat, Season 4, Episode 2. Monica and Chandler's down-low love. Ross's sister, uptight chef Monica Geller, played by Courtney Cox, hooked up with Chandler on the eve of Ross's doomed second wedding. The couple tried to keep their relationship hush-hush to avoid jokes from the group, which didn't go well. The key episode is The One Where Everybody Finds Out, Season 5, Episode 14. Family Issues. Quirky relatives supplied endless laughs. A few of the best, the Geller's folks, Christina Pickles and Elliot Gould, who favored Ross, and Chandler's trans dad, Charles, played by Kathleen Turner, with whom he had a rocky relationship. And the key episode is The One Where Ross Got High, Season 6, Episode 9, by Kate Hahn. Diagnosis, docuseries premiere, Friday, August 16th on Netflix. Consider this the unscripted version of Fox's fan-favorite medical drama, House. Luckily, the patients featured here don't have to rely on that show's notoriously cranky physician, played by Hugh Laurie, to identify their mysterious diseases. They're in the kind and capable hands of Dr. Lisa Sanders, whose column, Diagnosis, a New York Times fixture for almost 20 years, inspired both shows. In addition to her own expertise, Sanders uses social media to connect with other doctors and regular folks worldwide who might be able to offer insight into what's ailing the people who reach out to her. In the first episode, an athletic young woman in Nevada suffers from long-term severe pain, which has stumped multiple specialists. She finds hope from researchers in Italy and travels there with her boyfriend for help. We go deep into these cases from an emotional and medical point of view, explains executive producer Jonathan Chin of Whitney. Every lead the crowd pointed us to needed to be considered and followed up on. Hunches from around the world changed lives. Ultimately, I hope viewers come away with the sense that they should never give up on the possibility of closure. Now in Prime Video, This is Football, new docuseries available now. Just to clarify, This is Football is about soccer, not that other football. Sorry, NFL fans. Even so, don't let that deter you from checking out this wide-ranging collection of stories about the beautiful game and what it means to billions of people around the globe. Each of the 6 episodes explores football as it relates to the universal human experience. Redemption shows how the sport helped rebuild Rwanda after its brutal 1994 civil war. As one person notes in the series, you don't refuse to pass the ball to someone because someone comes from a certain place. You are going to pass the ball because you want to win. Belief celebrates the pioneers of women's football, including the victorious U.S. team from the 1999 World Cup. Wonder highlights the impressive career of Argentinian Lionel Messi, widely considered the greatest player of all time. Love, meanwhile, is about people overcoming adversity to experience the joy of the game, like teenage cancer survivor Faziel Hofon, South Africa's youngest pro referee. John Carlin, whose book Playing the Enemy, Nelson Mandela and the Game That Made a Nation, inspired the 2009 film Invictus, is among the filmmakers. Nelson Mandela said to me once, "If you really want to convince people, don't bother so much appealing to their brains. Appeal to their hearts," Carlin says. My hope is that we've done a good series that will reach the hearts and minds of a lot of people. By Ryan A. Behrens. Jim Gaffigan, Quality Time, stand-up premiere Friday, August 16th on Prime Video. The streaming service that hit awards gold with a show about a fictitious stand-up comic is getting real with its first ever original special. But unlike The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, this isn't lewd. The man hailed as the king of clean comedy by The Wall Street Journal discusses his weight gain, complications with appendicitis, and America's antiquated obsession with horse races. People love the Triple Crown or the Kentucky Derby, where people bet on horses while they're dressed like characters from Gone with the Wind. It's like prom for gamblers. By Damian Holbrook. And now in Hulu. Pure. Season 2 available now. The second season of WGN's crime drama about a Mennonite pastor's crusade against a Canadian drug operation lands on Hulu with all the action and suspense of the first. If you're looking for a nail-biting summer binge, Pure just might be your new obsession. Here's Why. By John Russell. 1. It'll scratch your Breaking Bad itch. Like Walter White, Noah Funk, played by Ryan Robbins, starts out as a mild-mannered family man until he decides to take on the Mennonite mob. Forced to join in order to protect his loved ones, he decides to destroy the violent group from within, going to extremes himself. But the Heisenberg here is Noah's wife, Anna, played by Alex Paxton Beasley, who has a knack for running a criminal enterprise, taking over her husband's duties in season 2. 2. It's based on a true story. As unbelievable as it sounds, there allegedly was a North American drug pipeline controlled by Mennonites. Series creator Michael Amo pitched the thriller after reading about Mennonite smuggling cocaine and marijuana. 3. Spirituality plays a part. Unlike other crime dramas, Pure doesn't shy away from its characters' religion or the way it conflicts with the dirty deeds they're forced into. Noah and Anna both struggle to reconcile their actions with their beliefs. There's something hopeful in their faith, which makes the show less bleak than others like it. Into the Dark, Season 1, Episode 11, available now on Hulu. The latest installment of Into the Dark, the anthology horror series centered around a different holiday or event each episode, dives into back-to-school season with a twist on The Breakfast Club. 5 teens from vastly different cliques suffer through Saturday detention and are terrorized by the legend of the school spirit, a ghoul that tries to eliminate the misbehaving students of Hellbrook High. The hunted kids include class president Erica, played by The Leftovers' Annie Q, loner Brett, played by Corey Fogelmanis, troublemaker Lizzie, played by Jesse Case, courageous Vic, played by Julian Works, and people-pleaser Russ, played by Philip Labes. Every character believes they are the hero of the story, explains director Mike Gahn. I wanted to combine the slasher films of the 90s like Scream with the iconic character ensembles of the 80s. The goal was to make a movie that felt classic and modern. By Emily Estlanian. The Amazing Jonathan documentary. Documentary premiere Friday, August 16th on Hulu. When director Ben Berman set out to film magician and comedian The Amazing Jonathan, he intended to capture the story of a man afflicted with a heart condition confronting mortality with humor. I've never been more pleased to have my plan smashed to pieces, says the filmmaker. Berman follows the Las Vegas staple, a.k.a. John Edward Zelis, on his farewell tour, capturing Jonathan's drug use and mischievousness. Soon, however, Berman is confronted with several other film crews, all competing for access to Jonathan in order to make their own documentaries. Berman questions if the prankster is being honest about being ill and whether Jonathan hired the other crews. Berman eventually turns the camera on himself, asking why he wanted to make this film in the first place. I gravitate toward darker themes, and death is one, he says. The unexpected items that we ultimately crafted the film around are much more dynamic than the smaller project I set out to make. America's Got Talent, Tuesday, August 13th at 8, 7 Central on NBC. The judges have made their cuts. Now it's your turn to vote for your favorite acts. The talent competition's live shows begin Tuesday, August 13th. At press time, 7 golden buzzers, acts who were picked in the first rounds to go directly to the live shows, had been named by the judges and host Terry Crews. Crews' pick, the Detroit Youth Choir, is especially close to his heart. They've come from horrendous obstacles, he says. The group blew viewers away with a unique take on Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's Can't Hold Us. Now Crews hopes to hear them do something even farther out, like a Radiohead jam. While he crosses his fingers for all the contestants, Crews shares what makes 3 singers so special. Sophia Pecora. She has a delivery and a style you've never seen before, Crews says of the 15-year-old singer-songwriter. Guest judge Brad Paisley's golden buzzer. She mixes her own catchy guitar-strumming ballads with powerful poetry and spoken word rap about topics such as bullying. Since joining AGT, I was really looking forward to someone's career being born on the show, Crews says, and now it's happened with her. Luke Islam. The 12-year-old with Broadway dreams wowed Judge Juliana Ho when he sang She Used to Be Mine from the musical Waitress. I went to see Waitress after Islam's audition, and I was thinking, wait a minute, he could be in the show right now, Crews says. He sang that probably better than anyone could. Cody Lee. My knees buckled a little bit, Crews admits, of hearing the blind and autistic Lee, 23, Judge Gabrielle Union's pick, begin his rendition of Johnny Hathaway's A Song for You, says Crews. It was hauntingly beautiful, and we haven't seen nothing yet. By Emily S. Lanian. David Makes Man. Series premiere 10, 9 Central on OWN, Wednesday, August 14th. Saying life is hard for 14-year-old David Young, played by Akili McDowell, is an unfortunate understatement in this raw coming-of-age drama from Terrell Alvin McCraney, Oscar-winning co-writer of Moonlight. As he tries to veer away from trouble in the Miami projects while dealing with his closest friend's death, caring teacher Dr. Woods Trapp, the Cosby Show's Felicia Rashad, steers the prodigy to learning. David has one world in school and another world apart from it, says Rashad, noting that response to the show at screenings has revealed to her just how common that's become. She tells us more. The interviewer asks, "What's Dr. Woods Trapp like as a teacher?" Rashad says, "She appreciates intelligence, respects it. She sees it in all of her students. In David, she sees an opportunity to open vistas for him. I had teachers who were like this, so brilliant and accomplished in academia, they could have been anywhere, but they choose to be where they are for the sake of the people they can influence, whose lives they can uplift and impact." The interviewer says, "She tells her students, don't waste our time. That's more than a reprimand, isn't it? It's a life lesson." Rashad says, "Absolutely. That's how Terrell Alvin McCraney crafts his scripts. Everything has meaning." The interviewer says, "You've done a lot of drama recently, on stage and TV and in the Creed movies. Would you return to comedy?" Rashad says, "I think about comedy. I'm slated to direct Charles Randolph Wright's Blue as a Broadway production in 2020, and there's great humor there. Maybe one day somebody will come and say, hey, how about this? And I'll say, yay, let's do that." By Jim Halterman. And that's all for today. I'm Rachel Renner.